The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Teacher Quit Talk.
Where we're quitting and we're talking. Well, I'm not quitting.
No, you're not. And I'm so happy that you're happy, actually. It like makes me very pleased.
I am happy. Do I want to go back to work tomorrow morning? No.
Nobody does. I think it'd be weird if you did.
I'm on spring break right now.
And it's so fun.
I think humans are meant to work like 3 days a week, I think. It sounds about right to me.
Mm-hmm. How was your trip? Tell the people.
It was so good. I went to Tulum, which was very nice. It's very much getting gentrified hardcore, which I kind of already knew. Just based off of Instagram, but it was very relaxing and I was shocked. So like one, my phone didn't really work there. Like I had service, but it was fairly limited. And I am of the mind, if that Wi-Fi is not jumping, I don't want to be on it at all. Like I hate having to wait for stuff to load. So I read an entire book in like 4 days and I was like, oh my God, I do have like a functioning brain because I just wasn't on my phone like at all the whole time.
You like got really big brained when you were there.
No, I really did. And the best part about traveling with my boyfriend is that I can just not bring my phone. Like we would like literally be like in a cab and I'd be like, oh, I don't have my phone.
It's so nice when like the person that you text all the time, you're with them, so you don't have to think about it.
Well, it's not even that. It's like if I go out alone, I feel the need to be like conscious of like my own safety and things.
Yeah.
So like I don't feel comfortable going out alone without a phone. Even if I go out in a group of people, like even if it's a group of girlfriends, ultimately I'm still responsible for my safety. So I still want my phone with me, like in case I need to call an Uber or something. But like I'm with you. This is your problem. So like I don't need a phone because you have one.
Exactly. Exact same thing here. I'm glad you had a nice trip. So this is like a weird day. It's eclipse day.
It's eclipse day. The sun just went away. It's weird.
Yeah, we're feeling very strange.
It was dark outside. I don't know how I feel about that.
But we haven't really examined the news recently and talked about the teacher crisis. So we're just going to read some news articles and inform ourselves and in doing so, inform you.
Exactly. Because we really have not been up on the news recently.
There's a lot of shit going on. But now we're here, ready to inform ourselves about the state of education. Join us.
I found some interesting ones. You go first.
I did as well. Well, this one that I found is in, what the fuck? I actually don't want to even read this one anymore. It says, The Good Men Project, The Conversation No One Else Is Having. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, okay. I have so many things I could say about that. Let's break that down word by word. Good Men Project. What was the vetting process? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I want more information about how you defined good. How did we get there?
Yeah, I'm looking for like an about me tab, but.
Yeah, like who are the men? Why are they good? How are they good? Where did we find them?
I don't think I have time to do all that research. It says The Good Men Project is a glimpse of what enlightened masculinity might look like in the 21st century.
I'm like ready to agree with you, but I'm suspicious.
No, I'm not reading it. I don't know enough and I don't have time to figure out if it's a good or a bad thing.
This?
Yeah, I'm tired. Okay, here we go. Moving on to the next article I have prepared for you. This one is an opinion piece by Jessica Gross for the New York Times. It says, people don't want to be teachers anymore. Can you blame them? We're talking about workload, potential violence in schools, just general challenges and struggles, if you will. And I found this very interesting. Jessica brought up decline in prestige and interest. The word prestige is confusing to me.
I do kind of get what she means by that. Because, like, my parents are rich and annoying. And so, like, a lot of their friends are. Love you, Mom and Dad. A lot of their friends are, too. And so, like, a lot of their friends' kids have jobs that, like, are prestigious. But I know they are fake. Like, they're, like, vice president of whatever the fuck. And, like, I know that that's not a real job. Because you're not doing anything. Right. But I do get it when, like, sometimes I'll be interacting with, like, adults of that caliber and they ask me what I do and I'm like, oh, I'm a teacher. And I can tell they really respect me, but in, like, an infantilized way. Like, they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, they think I'm a great person, but they don't think highly of me, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. I know exactly what you're talking about because I've also had people who the next thing out of their mouth is like, so are you gonna, like, go to become a principal or, like... Like, they want to know what's next.
Yeah. Or it's very much like, wow, that's like they view it as like, oh, I'm so impressed you like want to serve and be called in that way. But right. They don't view it as like, wow, that's a big accomplishment. Like, me telling them that makes them think nice things about me. Like, I don't feel insulted by this reaction, but I can just tell they're not thinking of me as like a smart, ambitious person. They're thinking of me as like, oh, you're so nice and kind to do that.
Yeah, you put that in really good terms that I had never really like been able to put the nail on the head, so to speak. Yeah, exactly. So this is about a paper published in 2022 by the Annenberg Institute for School Reform at Brown University. Michael Kraft and Melissa Arnold talked about the perception of teaching. And they said this, perceptions of teacher prestige have fallen between 20% and 47% in the last decade to be at or near the lowest levels recorded over the last half century. Interest in the teaching profession among high school seniors and college freshmen has fallen 50% since the 1990s and 38% since 2010, reaching the lowest level in the last 50 years. The number of new entrants into the profession has fallen by roughly one-third over the last decade, and teacher job satisfaction is also at the lowest level in 5 decades. So, oh God, the percent of teachers who feel the stress of their job is worth it dropped from 81% to 42% in the last 15 years. Wow.
Oh my God.
So Jessica talked to this Matthew Kraft man, and apparently he said, while we're in a moment of really acute crisis right now, and he's like, this isn't new. You know, this has been going on. And although we know that, like, I do feel like this trend matches kind of what we've seen in the media and what we've seen even in, like, my comment section where people are like, I don't know if I want to do this shit anymore. Like, this is my dream since I was little, but I don't want to teach anymore because I'm freaked out by how abysmal everything's going for everybody that's in the profession. And then the last thing I really want to highlight is Matthew Kraft was talking about the shortages are not uniform across schools, districts, or states. The shortages may be hitting public schools the hardest, they say, because charter and private schools can, quote, be a bit more nimble about payment and staff allocation.
I found one as well. This is from, I'm sure I'm going to butcher this, the Heitschinger Report. They're covering innovation and inequality in education. It looks like just like a small news outlet from what I see. And this is from April 8th, 2024. So that's today. Proof points. When schools experimented with $10,000 pay hikes for teachers in hard to staff areas, the results were surprising. Shocking. People like money. So, oh, this is an interesting thing that they talk about in this. Like when they were doing their research for this study, it's shocking how each subject area is so different. Like this says in math, there were like way higher needs than in physical education or social studies. So that's like not surprising that the things that are more heavily tested and more like aggressively pushed, people want to do less.
Yeah.
Oh, this is interesting. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe people don't like money. So I'm just going to read through this and we can cut anything boring. So some school systems have been experimenting with targeted financial incentives. Separate groups of researchers studied what happened in Hawaii and in Dallas, Texas, when teachers were offered significant pay hikes ranging from $6,000 to $8,000 a year to take hard-to-fill jobs. In Hawaii, special education vacancies continued to grow, while financial incentives to work with children with disabilities unintentionally aggravated shortages in general education classrooms. So I guess so many people were leaving wanting to get the pay hike, there was a shortage in another area, because I guess they Their hope was to recruit people who weren't teachers, but I think the current teachers were like, you're paying how much? Let me add on to my certification.
Oh, for sure. I would.
In Dallas, the incentives lured excellent teachers to high poverty schools. Student performance subsequently skyrocketed so much that the schools no longer qualified for the teacher bump in pay. So then all the teachers left and the student test scores fell back down again. What? Give them the money and let them keep it. Like, why are we overcomplicating it so much? Give everyone the money.
Oh, my God.
Literally, this so fucking directly proves that if you pay teachers more, the situation will improve. And then you correctly proved again that when you take it away, the situation gets worse again. It's almost like you need permanent pay restructure. It's almost like that.
So do you have more on this article? Because there's another thing that people are doing that's shitty that's kind of similar.
There's a little more here, but it like gets into super specific numbers. I don't know if we want to get into that. No, well, let's not get into it because it's like the aggregated fucking, it's like very data-y.
Okay.
That was kind of the...
Not on eclipse day.
Not on an eclipse day, exactly. But what they proved is that when you provide it in one area, people will go to work in that area. And then if you only do it for low performing schools, you kind of need to keep paying them or else that problem's going to come back.
They really shot themselves in the fucking foot.
The amount of times that like these, like some of these studies are done by like very intense places that I'm sure get lots of money. And the way that we just talk about it on our podcast and came to the same conclusion after talking to like four people.
I know.
Like I could have saved you time.
It's like, I understand that you want to scientifically prove this shit, but like we know, we're aware. Okay, so I feel like there's like this systemic brokenness in the system that's like really frustrating. As we know, we've talked about this a billion fucking times. So in Missouri, get this, educators who resign before the end of the school year may be fined $500 to $10,000 and will not be allowed to work until their contract expires. And they're saying other states are following suit.
Wait, won't be allowed to work like in another school, or like somehow they get like doxxed by the Department of Labor and like Chili's can't hire them?
That's a great question. The first thing they hit you with is a breach of contract fine. And those fines are set at the district level, and that's where you get the $500 to $10,000 range.
That's quite the range.
The Missouri State Teachers Association, there's a Kyle Farmer who is like, it does not cost $10,000 to replace a teacher. Because I guess that's like what they're deciding the fine based on, like how much money it takes to replace a teacher in the classroom.
Oh, like the recruitment and the HR and like... Yeah.
Yes. So the educator's license is suspended, and that makes it so that they can't get a teaching job elsewhere. Not like a Chili's job, I guess. But I thought for a second that maybe it would be. I don't know. It's just really, I can't imagine forcing a teacher to stay at a job that they no longer want. Like, how is that good for literally anybody? Students, staff, the teacher?
Like, if I was a parent, I would probably, like, if my child's teacher like desperately wanted to leave, I kind of don't want you here, like no offense, but
no, 100%.
Maybe not.
No, so in the things that they're like the different teacher reasons that they're citing, it says one resigned because of like a family emergency, one quit because shitty pay, and one quit because she felt unsafe at her school, and they are now getting fined. And it says that a one-year license suspension appears to be the standard practice in many states, including Arizona, California, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Vermont. I have not heard of this in California, but I don't know. Like, I feel like it varies everywhere for everything. Idaho, Nevada, and North Dakota can even completely revoke the teacher's license. Like, just fuck you forever.
That's crazy, especially when you think about, like, because I know, like, on the outside level, it seems like, oh, if they left in the middle of the year, they didn't, like, fulfill their duty, why would we want to rehire them? They might do that again. Like, I think I kind of... Like, if you're looking at it from that perspective, I guess I can see how this decision gets made. But when you think about it as, like, at the end of the day, teachers are employees. So things happen at school that happen in all other industries. Like, you have sexual harassment at school from superiors. You have, like, bad HR situations, bad intimidation situations. And, like, I've been in, like, the diet version of some of, like, the intimidation and, like hostile work environment situation. So I can't imagine being like legally bound to stay there. Like when you think about it from an HR perspective, there's no way a company would have that HR procedure protocol. Just no organization would do that.
Yeah. And it says that like it's horrible for optics, because if you hear that you're basically forced to stay, it's like, oh, why is everything so bad at that school that they're holding you hostage?
It's very spooky. I have another one.
Tell me.
This is from Vermont Public. Vermont's post-pandemic teacher shortage has gotten worse. This is from April 2nd, 2024. Vermont has 10% fewer educators than it did before the pandemic. That's the worst mark in the country, I think, except for Alaska. And the decline is prompting Vermont principals to hire teachers with fewer qualifications, and in some cases, forcing schools to send kids home for the day. So the number of people completing traditional prep programs in Vermont has decreased dramatically over the last 20 years. There was, in 2022, 281 people completed like teacher preparation programs in Vermont. In 2000, it was 522.
Oh!
So that's like, what, about half?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the number of provisional and emergency teaching licenses has doubled since 2017. And the emergency teaching license as a beneficiary twice now. They're using that word emergency pretty strongly. They really are just, they're like, it's an emergency and you want to teach? Here's the license.
They're making it easier and easier to get that emergency credential, at least here in California.
Which I have mixed feelings about. Like on one hand, I think like we should be recruiting from outside of education. But then on the other hand, I think like it's not good to put people in when they're unprepared. So like, I don't know. I see both sides of that argument.
Well, yeah, because it's like a lot of times they're being thrown in with no support additionally. So it's like, not only are they recruited from elsewhere, but they're not supported through training or onboarding or anything, because as we've discussed, that doesn't fucking exist in teaching most of the time. So I just can't even imagine, like, you've been an insurance agent and you're getting a teaching credential because you want to, you know, give back.
That's your why.
Yeah, find your why. Here's your keys.
Vermont is doing something about this, though. The legislator of Vermont is funding loan reimbursement program, and they've waived all licensing fees. I do like that. I think that's like the best way to go about it. There should be preparation for it, but it should be free.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a program to support educators on the emergency license, allegedly. That's what they all say. There's always a program.
That's what freaks me out the most about schools right now, is that people keep talking about how much support teachers need, and it's not happening. And then teachers are like, but we don't know what the fuck's going on. So it just feels like this avalanche of shit. I don't know why nobody cares. Like, it just bothers me that nobody seems to care.
One thing that like I've been noodling on actually the last like 2 days, because I saw my new best friend, Miss Bond, posted a tweet about like, what are schools doing to like professionally grow educators and things like that. And I got like, I had like a visceral reaction to it, which made me look in the mirror, because I think like I have a really like weird relationship around support as an educator, because like all the times that I've been told I've been going to be supported, I end up just getting more work on my plate and more documentation and like more useless professional development that's just like taking away time from work that I have to do. And I think that like I have a big like hesitation when I have like a district or admin who's like, oh, we want to support you. I'm like those like kids that grew up in like an orphanage and like can't get accept like a hug. Like I'm like, no, I'm okay, please leave me alone, I don't want that. Because what I have had happen, like when I was a new teacher and I desperately needed support, they were like, oh, to support you, we're going to send you to this PD. But the PD was showing stuff that wasn't my content area. Then I had to write about what I learned there. And I felt like it was, the support I've been given is just like more and more things on my plate. And so I'm like, so hesitant to accept support. So I think when teachers are asking for support, that gets misconstrued a lot. And what we're actually asking for is for you to just do some of the things on our plate. Like, mm-hmm. I really want someone from the government to come in my room and be like, I am your servant. What do you want me to do?
Right.
That's the support I would like.
It's like when you're postpartum and people come to your house to hold the baby and you're like, no, what I actually need you to do is come over and do the dishes.
Yes. No, it's actually, I don't want to say it's worse than that because I've never experienced that, but I feel like it's when someone comes over postpartum and brings like 30 outfits for your child and is like, put them all on right now so I can see.
Oh, huh. Mm-hmm. No, you're so right. Or it's like, for me, sometimes the support that I would receive in the classroom would feel like I was being like put on the spot or criticized.
It felt punitive.
Like if somebody came into my house and was like, the baby just threw scissors at the wall and left a hole. What did you do to provoke that?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of times is like when you ask for support, you end up just receiving feedback and criticism and like, no, I know it's pretty fucked up in here. That's why I'm asking for help. I didn't ask you for advice.
Yeah, that was definitely part of my experience. So I learned how to like just shut my door and teach and not ask for shit. Anyways, one department that's supposed to help us is the Department of Education.
Boo.
I know. I know. And I did not realize we're past the debates now, but that the Republican candidates all want to get rid of the Department of Education. I had no idea.
No, that very much is a thing. And I like, I hate when sometimes I end up being a little Republican. I don't want to get rid of it. I just want to fire every single person there and completely restructure it from the ground up. But like, we can definitely probably still use the building. We don't have to change the sign or anything. Just fire literally everyone.
Well, what bothers me is that like, I feel like politicians don't say shit about education for 4 years. And then it's a bargaining chip at the very end. Like, oh, we're going to do this for teachers. We're going to do this for schools. And it's like, but you don't. You never do.
Like you're lying.
Yeah, it just really feels like cheap, like they're appealing to, I guess that's a lot of what politicians do, but whatever it is that you're running on for teachers, do it, but you never do. And it's like absentee father vibes, you know?
Yeah.
So Education Next is like talking about this and they said that Republicans have been calling for the abolition for a long time, but not really the reasons that you and I want to dismantle the education system.
It's like, I know we're kind of saying the same thing, but we could not mean it more differently.
I can't stress enough how differently Reagan was involved. So it does really feel like a battleground for public favor rather than like actually thinking about policy change. That's not the support we need. We need you to restructure how taxes are distributed and funding is given to schools and teachers. But whatever. I'll just go fuck myself, I guess.
I'll just go lay down in the street. Don't even worry about me.
Don't you worry about me.
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for asking.
Do you have another one?
I do. This one, we didn't read this one, but we read something very similar to it about the international recruiting. This one's in Minnesota. The last one we talked about was in Texas, right?
It was in Texas. It was.
So Minnesota has hopped on the train from Fridley to Red Lake to Willmar. I think those are districts in Minnesota. They are hiring educators mostly from the Philippines. Can I just say the U.S. is built on the Philippines? Like that becomes true time and time again. Like so many American business people right now, their virtual assistants are from the Philippines. So many of our healthcare workers are from the Philippines. We've exploited so many natural resources from the Philippines. Like we really, I saw a meme about that the other day where apparently, I'm probably butchering this, I don't know if this is right, but those stores where you can just walk in and take shit and it like knows, like you log in when you walk in and it knows what you take. And they've been saying it was AI, but apparently it's actually been like teleworkers in like some other countries just
Shut
reviewing
the
footage and like manually doing it. And I saw this meme and it was like, we have developed cutting edge AI technology. And then the other thing was like, is it actually just exploitation in the Philippines? And then they were like, yeah, it's actually just exploitation in the Philippines. And it said like the US every 50 years because like we did the same thing so many times.
Oh my God, wait.
Here, look it up while I read about these
Filipino
teachers in Minnesota. So Superintendent Brenda Lewis last fall turned to international recruiting. This was done in her previous district in North Dakota, where crippling teacher shortages has made headlines over the past couple years. They hired about 20 educators from the Philippines, and she said international talent may not work for every district, but it's been a game changer for us. Being fully staffed helps everyone. You can't imagine the difference that it makes. They're hired on an H-1B visa, which allows U.S. employees employers to hire foreign workers in specialty occupations, and they can stay for up to 6 years. And the district can also help the teachers get their green card. And then they talk about the robbing jobs, but it's not actually robbing jobs because no one wants to work here, blah, blah, blah. So apparently a lot of parents and students are into this because they get to learn about other cultures, and the teachers are eager to share their culture with the students. Another, like I said, the majority of the students in that district are students of color, but apparently the majority of the teachers had been white. So this is also a way for them to have more diverse staff. And I've always said, I think no matter what your student population looks like, your teaching staff should be diverse because kids learn from people who have had different experiences from them. So the last year they hired 5 elementary teachers on exchange visas, and the new teachers lived together in a 5-bedroom house, and the school staff helped furnish it with donations. There it is. There it is. I knew you were not giving these people a livable wage for them to be living on their own in the U.S. like the adults that they are.
Oh my God.
I knew you had them shacked up. I knew it. So this is Kat Kuza. She said, my coworkers are really helpful and accommodating. She is a kindergarten teacher. She said her colleagues were quick to help her out when she fell sick or needed ideas on classroom management. She recently brought her family to the U.S. and started working as a paraprofessional. Okay, so it looks like the first time they did it with all 5 of them living together, they didn't really say what happened to the next of them. This other one says that a lot of them live near each other, but it doesn't say if they like hooked them up with the housing or they procured it on their own. I don't really know what that situation is, but I have very mixed feelings about that. Like they said, like when you have a staff shortage, I think this is a good solution, and I think it's kind of a win-win, but I think overall it's very indicative of like how exploitative all of these systems are. Like I think it's indicative of how immigration work is exploitative. I think it's indicative of how teaching is exploitative. I feel like it's a Band-Aid on a lot of other things, but I think like everyone experiencing the Band-Aid is probably having a pretty good time. Like it seems like the kids are into it. The teachers seem relatively happy aside from I disapprove of their living conditions. They didn't really say how they felt about it.
Well, they probably can't because why would, like, you're not going to talk shit about your employer to the news, in theory.
Well,
typically.
Unfortunately. I think you and I missed that.
I know. Nobody told me that.
No, like, hearing you say that is, like, I think the first time. And I'm like, oh, that, yeah.
That
I've never thought about it that way. I've always just been like, what does that have to do with you? Like, it's literally freedom of speech.
The AI thing. Okay, I looked it up. It says this company called Presto Automation used its technology at fast food drive-thrus, and it's mostly just human workers in the Philippines. And it reminds me of when I was in my teaching program, we used what we were told at first was AI. It was like a computer that you stood in front of a projected screen, and it was like fake kids, and then they would react to you and you had to teach them. And it was at the end revealed that it was actually people that were on the other end being the kids. But this is like the very, very exploitative version of that. But that's bananas,
right?
Yeah, that this is crazy, awful. But anyways, I don't know how I feel about, even if it's like the people being hired aren't upset about it, I still think it's exploitative.
Yeah, I feel the same way. As I think I talked about it either on here or on stream at somewhere, that when I worked at that hotel, we hired employees on the J-1 visa, and like somewhere we did it a couple different summers, so like somewhere from like India, the Philippines, a couple guys were from Mexico, it was like from a fair amount of different countries, and I felt the same way. Like everyone that I worked with, they seemed like happy to be a part of the program, especially like for them, it was kind of giving study abroad vibes because a lot of them were in college and they were hospitality majors. So it was kind of like, oh, cool, unique experience. But looking at it like from the company's perspective, I was like, them hiring all of you enabled them to like, A, not have to spend the HR money to like hire local people, but also like none of you all are going to be eligible for health insurance benefits. Like they were all on the same pay rate. So like people would be doing the same job as me, but would be getting paid a lot less than me. But they also like rotated their jobs. So it made sense that they were on a specific rate because they would like do a job for 2 weeks, then try a new one, then try a new one. So like there were a lot of aspects of it where it was like kind of a win for the people in it, but there were also, I was like, eh. And then like the landlords were making tons of money and it was just weird.
Woofing is like that.
Yes.
And some people, they love it, love it, love it. And other people are like, that was the worst experience of my fucking life. I hate to be so cynical.
Some of my family is really into woofing.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not like built for that. Like, I wish that I was the type of person that could be like, let me go like work on this farm in Spain. But like, I need my nugget ice maker, and like, it needs to be 68 degrees while I'm sleeping.
Exactly same here. Like, I went abroad, and the director of our theater program is friends with this guy that has kind of like a bed and breakfast in Scotland. And so he hosts all of the kids for the study abroad. There's like 18 of us, I think, and we would stay there. And there was a woofer who was always there during the program, and they loved it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, the Highlands of Scotland, so fun. And I could never actually do it. To give you an idea of how I was when I was in the Highlands of Scotland, we were not allowed, quote unquote, to have the internet. Like, you don't have cell service there. So I got a special chip in my phone that would help me access cellular service. I also begged the owner of the bed and breakfast for the Wi-Fi password.
You're incredible. You were in like my homeland. You know that?
Really? You're Scottish?
Yeah. I've never been there. My parents have. They didn't take me, those little fuckers.
I love Scotland.
Yeah.
It's very special there.
So my parents went, and they tried to track down our genealogy or whatever. Because there's like a castle with our name, and they're like, oh my God, maybe we're important. And no, we're not. They tracked it down, and we were not the people in the castle. We were the people on the land that assumed the name because they were the owning of the land. So we were the little peasants on the land. I want to go. They won't let me sleep in it. I emailed.
Oh, you did?
So moving on to Business Insider, my favorite insider for business. This is the headline. It's from like 2 weeks ago. Schools are facing a dire teacher shortage. Less competitive pay for Gen Z and young millennials could make it worse. No shit, honey. So this is based on a conversation with the ADP chief economist, Neela Richardson, and their principal data scientist, Jeff. So the report reported the large contrast between employment and job openings for educators, as well as how pay has looked for teachers. The new report included a competitive salary index based on ADP data comparing the salary of public and private schools to the average for all U.S. workers. So that is really what they're comparing to, is teacher pay to like average across the board all other things. This ratio has notably declined since 2018 for those in their early 20s, which is a potential problem for Gen Zers looking into step into education. Despite that relative decline, teachers are making more than they did before the pandemic. Other jobs just have become much more lucrative. So even though teachers have gotten a raise, everything else has gone up much more dramatically. So it's like still not that great. So average teacher pay in January 2018 was $42,971, and now in October 2023 it has gone up to $59,780. So I don't know, like, if they were looking at public and private across multiple states, but that is a decent amount. But in that 5-year period, salary competitiveness eroded, because this is the average teacher salary as a percentage of average salary for all employees. So this is basically comparing the teacher average to the other averages. So for ages 20 to 25, it's the most dramatic, where it's always been over 100%. So what that means is that other jobs would pay more than teaching. And that's the case for the last 7 years for the age group 20 to 25. So pretty much you're better off not teaching consistently over the last 5 years. It's gone up and down throughout it, but still. And that's not the case when you look at other age groups, which makes sense because a lot of districts, you don't get raises for like 30 years. Like when you look at the age group 45 to 50, it's about 84%. So that means that like other jobs pay better, but the majority of them pay worse. So it's kind of interesting that it's more affecting young people coming in on that low salaries, which makes sense of what we've kind of anecdotally talked about on the podcast, that like we see a lot of brand new teachers in year 1 and 2, and we see a lot of teachers in years like 20 and 30, but you don't really see people in that 5 to 15 range because like people are making that economic choice. But that's just kind of the update on the education news. Things are bad and they're getting worse, and they're going to keep getting worse, and we're going to keep talking about it.
We love you so much. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Love you. Get a job teaching, or don't.
Or don't. Whatever.